Hello, friends, and welcome back to Bible Sunshine on this Monday in May. It is Monday, the day after Mother's Day. So I hope you had a blessed Mother's Day and you're encouraged in the Lord. And we want to continue today our study in the Word of God. We're very glad you've joined us today. We would encourage you to share this with a friend and to invite others to study the Word of God with us, to like our East End Baptist Church Facebook page and to pass this on to others. Well, let's pray together and ask for God's blessing as we study His Word today. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you that we can come to you for help, for strength, for insight, for discernment. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see and hear and understand your word and to apply it to our lives. Encourage our hearts today through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope your Bible's open to Philippians chapter 2. And I would like to read verses 12 through 18 today, and we will pick up our study in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. We see in this passage that genuine salvation by grace through faith produces real obedience. The faith that saves works. We are saved apart from works, but the faith that saves, genuine salvation, produces fruit. It produces an effect. I have been enjoying springtime so much. And from our vantage point on the third floor where we live in our little balcony, we see these trees that are turning into leaves now. And right now the leaves are not fully developed and they have sort of a yellowish tone to them. And they have signs that more life is coming. And the trees that looked very dead in the winter, indeed were not dead. They were going through the winter season. And they came forth, there were buds, and now they're yellowish looking leaves. And soon there will be fully developed green leaves. Because there's genuine life in the tree. That's very different from a tree that is dead. It's very different from a stack of firewood, from a dead tree. So the Spirit of God gives us life. We are born again. We trust in Christ. We follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved. And then life comes. Fruit comes. Green leaves come from that to show the reality of that life that's within. So Paul is showing that here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. And as we saw last time, there's a command to produce a life of obedience. He says, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So Paul is appealing to them to obey in his absence the same way they did in his presence. In other words, they weren't doing the right thing. They weren't living for Jesus just because he was watching. we continually need to understand that God is omnipresent. He is always watching. He always sees us. So I never should think, oh, the pastor's not around. Oh, the deacon's not around. Oh, a spiritual leader's not around, so I can do what I want. No. God is always around. He's always watching. So Paul appeals to the Philippians. He says, I want you to do in my absence the same thing you did in my presence. And he goes on to say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And as we studied last time, he did not say work for your salvation, but work it out. That is, produce. The life that is within will produce green leaves. That life that God has placed there, that's demonstrated trust and faith in Jesus Christ, there will be fruit in that. Now, it's very easy for us to become critical of believers when they're going through winter seasons and we're not seeing a lot of fruit on the tree. But mind you, if we were to cut that tree going through the winter season, and if somehow by cutting we could determine the sap and see indeed it's alive, there is life in this tree, maybe we should give believers who are struggling at some point in their life a little bit of a break and pray for them instead of criticize them, and pray that fruit would be demonstrated, to pray that that life that we saw in them at one time would flourish again, that God would bring springtime to their hearts once again. And that's very different from someone who's the dead tree, cut into piles, dead firewood, no life whatsoever, no fruit whatsoever. Very different than a tree that's going through a winter season. So Paul desires, the Holy Spirit desires that we produce, that our salvation produces, that it shows forth the genuineness of the work of God within us. He says, work it out with fear and trembling. And notice he gives us great motivation and encouragement in verse 13. And notice the connecting word, for, a very important word in Scripture. So Paul now is giving us help. He's giving us a conclusion. He's giving us the motivation for working out our salvation. And he says, for, this is what you need to know, it is God who works in you. Praise the Lord for the work of God in our hearts. Now look back to chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are absolutely nothing in ourselves. It's all of God's goodness, all of God's grace. And we cannot serve the Lord in the Christian life and pat ourselves on the back and think, well, aren't we doing a great job? Aren't we wonderful? No. It is not about us. It's all about Christ. It's God who is working in us. We are, as one pastor described, the working clothes or the working gloves of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God in us who's working, and he is designed to use us for his glory. God is at work in his people. And I tell you, that is one of the most encouraging things to know as a pastor, that God is at work. I believe in the possibility of change. Our lives can change. Years ago, I remember having a Bible study with a new Christian. And at the time, I don't know if I even knew he was saved or not, but we began to study the Word of God together. We were studying the book of Romans. And I remember sometimes leaving those sessions thinking, oh, he's helpless or he's hopeless. You know, what a terrible thing to think. No, God began to work through his Word. And we got into those sins in Romans chapter 1. And I still remember this. This young man said, you know, this is just like today, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. It's just like today. And God began to work in his heart and convict his heart. He had actually trusted Jesus at some point earlier as he was attending a church. And God began to work through the Word of God, and his life began to be changed, transformed. And it was so wonderful to witness that, to see the transforming power of God's Spirit, God's Word in his life. So I believe in the possibilities of change because it is God who is at work in us. And he uses the Word of God to change us. You know what God's desire for us is? His end goal for us, looking down the road, it's to make you, to make me like the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is at work in our lives as believers to conform us to the image of his Son, step by step, little by little. But there is the reality that God's Spirit, through his Word, changes his children to become more and more like Jesus. So I need to be patient with a new believer on whom I may look and say, why aren't you where I am? Forgetting that God has been working in my life for years. And whatever level of maturity or development I have now, it didn't come overnight. It was by God's good hand working in me step by step. And so I should not look with impatience on a young believer and critically think, what's your problem? Why haven't you caught up? No, I need to continue to give them the Word of God, continue to pray for them, continue to love them and encourage them that they too would grow in the Lord day by day. A man met a prominent Christian leader, the head of a mission board. They were at a basketball or football game, and this young man asked this prominent leader, well, how are you doing? And he said, I'm just like you, buddy, just trying to live the Christian life one step at a time, or something to that effect. That's it. One step at a time, we're running the race, and it's God who's at work in us. So I can be confident of the work of God in us to make us more and more like Jesus. Notice what Paul says in verse 13. God is at work in you both to will, to give us the ability to make good and godly decisions, and to do for his good pleasure. Not only to make godly decisions, but godly actions. God is at work in us. So today, go to God's Word, read the Word, go to God in prayer, and let's thank the Lord for his good work in our lives, that he has begun it and he will continue it. And let's pray for God's good work in the lives of young believers, that they would more and more become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we want to go to prayer for two countries, and I believe that we've not prayed for these two before because of the way our days are set out on the calendar. Today we go to Bangladesh, Asia. It ranks number 45th on the persecution index. And Bhutan, also in Asia, ranks number 12th. And both of these countries desperately need the gospel. So let's pray for these two countries. Our Father, we thank you that you are Lord of heaven and earth. Thank you that you are at work in us. And dear Father, I pray for your working in our lives, but I pray for anyone who knows Christ in Bangladesh, any believer in Bhutan. Lord, even though they are a small minority, you know exactly who your people are. And I pray that your work will be very evident in them. If there are some that have drawn back because of persecution or opposition and they're going through a wintry season, Lord, I pray that the glory of the life of God and of springtime will spring forth in their lives, and that they will be strong and bold and unashamed witnesses for Christ. And Lord, I pray the same for America. I pray for Christians who may be going through a wintry season, maybe a season of depression or doubt or discouragement. Lord, will you bring them through to the springtime of your love, and that your life will be evidenced in them. We pray, Lord, that fruit will be born and a watching world will see that Jesus Christ is alive. We pray for the revival of your people in America and around the world. And Lord, we pray for your healing power to those touched with the coronavirus, and for your grace and peace to those who have lost loved ones. Comfort their hearts today, we ask, in Jesus' strong and mighty and energizing name. Amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. I'm so glad you joined us again today. Share this with a friend and be encouraged in the Lord. And come tomorrow to Bible Sunshine at 12 noon, and let's enjoy the light of God's truth. Have a wonderful day.